today. I'm going to give you guys a few housekeeping notes before we get started. First off being, if you are posting, tweeting, Instagramming, Facebooking, whatever the proper term for all of those things are, please use the hashtag KBS2019. That stands for Kingdom Business Summit 2019. That way we can see, we can engage, and we can potentially even share some of your posts. So please engage with us on social media. Also, let's see here. Workshops and special sessions start today. I'm going to give you some more information on those a little later. Refer to your brochure. It's going to show all the locations, the names of the workshops, the tracks of the workshops, all that good stuff. And please know, if you forget or forgot what you signed up for online, no worries. Go to the workshop that attracts you the most. If you see a workshop, say, oh, I signed up for this workshop. I want to go to this workshop. That's fine. Go to the workshop that you're most interested in attending. Also, like I mentioned before, page 11 of your program, don't forget, you can scan the QR code, get access to all of the notes. And then lastly, final reminder, I do apologize. I said that the place to turn in your forms was at guest services. It was actually under the staircase. I moved it. It's over by guest services now. So if you were looking for where to place your question and answers and your application for the business makeover tonight, it is by guest services. And guest services is that desk that's right by the front door. So there's somebody there. She'll answer your questions if you have any. Lastly, remember, please, only drinks in spill-proof containers. And feel free to leave your items throughout the day here. So even when we go to workshops, if you want to reserve your spot, if you got a great spot, you want it, save it. But at the end of tonight, go ahead and remove those items because we've got to clean the auditorium. So we have a super special guest for our next session, Andy Mason. Andy Mason comes from New Zealand, has 15 plus years of experience helping individuals and organizations discover and align with purpose, then develop practical steps to make dreams a reality. He's worked for a national consultancy firm and leading financial institutions, as well as investing in international community development. I always wanted that on my resume, international community development. Andy is a director of Heaven in Business, and is the director of Heaven in Business, and together with his wife Janie, Janine, okay, I was thinking Andy and Jamie, that's what stuck in my head. Janine leads Dream Culture, a movement catalyzing people to discover and live their dreams. Andy is the author of God With You and works at work and Dream Culture, bringing dreams to life. I'm going to throw it a short video. The next voice you hear is that of Andy Mason.
The Kingdom Business Summit's fourth general session is called the Great Partnership. Please welcome the Director of Heaven and Business from Bethel Church in Redding, California, Andy Mason.
Am I on? Can you hear me? Yes, you can. So you can tell by my accent, I'm from south of Colorado, south of Texas. If someone introduced me, they say, where are you from? I say, south of Texas, and they look really confused. Until we say, like, way, 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 way south. Have you seen Lord of the Rings? Has anyone seen Lord of the Rings? Yes, yeah, so I grew up next to an orc. Wizards in my backyard. No, not at all. So I'm Andy from New Zealand. The last 10 years I've been in Redding, California with Bethel Church. I was working in a bank. So my background is agriculture. Shepherding horse dogs, sheep and cattle. New Zealand is one big, you would say ranch. Uh-huh. We would say ranch. Amen. Just try it with me, ranch. Yeah, this is good. I'm going to teach you to speak English. Because you threw out the English, but we won't go there. So New Zealand is not England, by the way, of those of you that are still, 1776, so on. Background is agriculture, agricultural finance, and business consultancy. Very, very involved in local church, and always wanted to see God do more wherever I was. 2008, my wife and I, so I'm married, one wife and four children. They keep growing, getting older. They're now 12, 15, 16, and 18 years old. And 2008, we heard God speak to us, leave everything and go to a new country. So I thought that might be, is that Australia or was this Africa? And my wife would say, just let me know how that works for you. So we prayed, and the more we prayed over the next 2 weeks, we just heard God say it's America, and it's in Redding, California. And my image of America was only what you saw on television. So I'm sorry. Television is not a very good ambassador for America. It was effectively concrete jungles, very loud people, women with lots of paint and body enhancements. So thank God y'all, not like that. So 10 years ago, came and did the School of Ministry in Bethel in Redding, California. And at that time, really the mandate for that environment is on earth as it is in heaven. If it's not in heaven, it shouldn't be on earth. There's no poverty, there's no lack, there's no injustice. So our mandate on earth, you want to know the will of God? Well, that's it right there, on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're living that out. And at the time, that looked like running after sick people, which is not bad at all. But there's got to be more. And so what I'm going to do is show you a quick clip. We're going to be talking about the great partnership. I'll explain that in a moment. But really, to set this up, I'm going to show you a little video clip. So you ready? Got your popcorn? And this will just probably introduce it so much better.
Are you wanting to experience more of God with you at work? I was working in agricultural finance. I'd heard stories of God doing the miraculous, but hadn't seen much of that in my workplace, and I wanted more. Jesus didn't just die for us to get to heaven. He died for us to partner with him and bring heaven to earth. He wants to see our cities become fully alive. For that to happen, the economic engine of our cities must thrive, and that means you and I must thrive in our place of work. Is there a way to access heaven in your daily life? How do you get God's solutions to your problems? Where do you find others genuinely walking the same journey? We took a step and connected with local businesses who are hungry to experience more of the presence and power of God daily. We heard stories of everyday people discovering a God who's more than willing to engage in everyday life. A CEO of a manufacturing company whose forecast jumped more than 100-fold in 60 seconds. A pizza franchise who prays over their product and sees their customers healed of food allergies. A stock trader who heard tips from the Almighty and made $50,000 in 24 hours. A copywriter who listened to our content and his Parkinson's symptoms reduced to zero. I found what I was searching for, and now you can too.
Is that good? So before we get started, I want you to turn to the person beside you and just ask them this question, and you've got to answer it as well. What would it be like if you had God, the founding creative entrepreneur of the universe? He knows your business better than you do. He can dress better than you are. What would it be like not to have him as your boss or as your benevolent uncle, but as your business partner? What would you do differently? What could that look like in your workplace? Turn and talk to somebody. Who thinks it'll be a little bit different than what you do right now? Anybody? Who here God is already your business partner? So that must mean that everything goes perfectly all the time? Yes? No. 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 He didn't say it would be easy. And actually, I love Dr. Cloud yesterday talking about embracing negative realities. So, so good. I went home last night back to where we're staying. And I'm thinking of all these things I'm going to prune. I'm going to prune that. I'm going to prune that. I'm going to prune that. And then in the middle of the night, I woke up and felt so convicted because I'm thinking the first pruning's got to start right here. And I think, oh my gosh, God, I've been seeking first my kingdom. I got started with you, but now I'm building, and I keep coming back to that. This is why I do what I do. I'll tell you a little story. I've got a son. When he was 10 years old, he was playing, you'd say, Now, it, no, well, but It's not American football. It's not.
Soccer.
It's just confusing. We call it soccer. It's called football, but you have football, and it's anyway. He's playing soccer, the round ball football. I'm his coach, and there's two coaches. We turn up one day at football practice, and we say to the boys, they're 10 year old. If you do the scrimmage, your training correctly, then we'll play scrimmage against you. Two coaches against 11 boys. They get excited because that's the most fun thing, to play and beat the coaches, correct? So it's slippery, there's long grass, and I didn't have boots with cleats on, I just had sneakers, running shoes. So we get up there, but I'm this high, the boys are this high, and I'm stronger, fitter, and faster than they are. So although I was slipping around, who would you think would win? 11 boys, who thinks votes the boys? It's a democratic society, but we know who wins. Who thinks the coaches? Thank you for that vote of confidence. So we beat these boys. I then get in the car with my son, Ben, and I'm driving home. And Ben turns to me and he says, "Dad, you're really good." Which is the coolest compliment you can hear from your son. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, son. He goes, no, Dad, if you had cleats, you could be in your own team, like an adult team. Like, you could be in a real team. And out of my mouth comes, "Thanks, Ben. You know, that I'd really appreciate that. But if I did that, then I wouldn't get to play with you." And when I said that, I suddenly realized, God made you, correct? I love it how Reverend Timothy Keller says, God made the world not as a warrior who digs a trench, but as an artist who creates a masterpiece. He made you, he fashioned you, he knows you better than you do, he knows every hair on your head. He created the planet with his words. Are you with me? And he puts you in the here and you say, "Well, I want to build a janitorial company. I want to build a fashion company. I want to build a whatever company." Do you think that he knows your job better than you do? Do you think he could do your work better than you could? Could he be in his own team? This means yes, this means no. Who says yes, he could? Could he do your work better than you could? Actually, with you in it, it's a way more messy. So why does God want to work with you? Because he wants to. What does he need? What does God need? Does he need relationship? Well, no, he's got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a Trinity. He's perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Does he need glory? No, we sing the songs, we'll give you glory. He doesn't need glory. He's got all the glory. He's got all the money. He's got all cattle. He owns everything. So why does somebody who has everything do anything? The only thing he does is out of desire, because he wants to. Why does he want to partner with you? Because he wants to. He could do your work better than you could, but he wants to. Why do I do what I do? I used to say, because I want to see heaven on earth in and through the business realm. I want to see cities transformed and thriving. I want to see Jesus get his full reward. I want all of these things. I want to serve God and make him known through the business realm. Those are all good things. But you know, when you start and do business and things go boom, and things are hard, and things, you serve your city and then your city rejects you or doesn't accept what you're doing. Stuff happens. Those days you question, why am I doing what I'm doing? And then I start to realize, because work is the primary vehicle by which I form a friendship with God. God took man and woman, placed them in a garden, correct? Was this before or after the fall? Before the fall. What did he get commanded to do? To cultivate it. So what is the most purest form of work? Agriculture, horticulture. Anything else is less than that. Silicon Valley? Silicon's just sand. It's a city built on sand.
Yeah,
Bring back meat. What's the point? There was work before the fall, correct? Which means what are you going to do in eternity? Work. So, but the key is it's work with God. Everything Adam did, he did in his union, fully clothed with God. It got destroyed through the fall, and then Jesus reestablished that. He brought us back to the beginning. I get to work from rest, from my union with God. Work is the primary place I get to forge my friendship with God. How's that so? Anyone here married? Yeah. Hands up. When did your marriage grow? Was it the day that you glassy-eyed looked at her and said, "Will you marry me?" And she said yes? Was that when your marriage grew? Was it when you walked up the aisle, said vows to one another, "I do," kissed the bride? Was that when your marriage grew? Well, it kind of started. Was it when you went on honeymoon and that was pretty good? Did your marriage, well, a little. Your marriage really grows when suddenly you've got these little people running around screaming, yelling in the middle of the night, when you've got financial challenges and pressures. That's when your marriage really gets to grow. Is that correct? Amen. What's work? I go to church on Sunday, I celebrate, I worship, I hear some wonderful teaching. It's an awesome time of celebration. I go to Monday, and now I've got to pay bills, make decisions. All of that forges my friendship with God. Is he who he said he is? What will I do? What do you do first? This is what I got challenged in. So I want you to turn to the person beside you and tell them who or what was the first conversational interaction you had with this morning. I woke up. What was the first thing you turned to? Was it your email, social media, newspaper, your wife? What was it? Turn and tell them what it was. Okay, let's be honest. Who was checked your email was the first thing you did when you woke up? Who first thing you did was had communion with a cup of coffee? First person you talked to was your spouse? Yes. That's a good thing. Did she talk back? Did he talk back? Yeah, not a morning person. What's the point? First, seek the counsel of the Lord. First, what do you do when you turn to when you've got a challenge? What's the first thing? Do I turn to first seek the counsel of Google? First seek the counsel of my trusted mentors? I'm amazed at the people I'm getting to listen to over these couple of days. What I heard yesterday is going to change my world. I want to call them up and say, "Would you mentor me?" That's what I was thinking yesterday. And then I went back and I'm thinking, I'm going to prune that. I'm going to chase this person. They could mentor me. That'll help me grow. And then I woke up in the middle of the night convicted. One, I've got to prune me. Two, Holy Spirit saying, "Why don't you ask me to mentor you?" And I'm like, "Because I can't see you. Because you didn't write any books." Oh, you did. Are you with me? What is it to be a kingdom business? It's to follow the voice of God. It's to follow the voice of God. We've heard about that. Number one, follow the voice of God. Number two, follow the voice of God. Number three, follow the voice of God. Be excellent at what is good and innocent of evil. That means you find something you love, you're good at, and be the best that you can be in that, which is a lifetime journey. Be innocent of evil, which means godly character. But without the God of peace crushing Satan under our feet, there is no difference. And we're going to talk about that. So what's the Bible say all about this? Who wants a kingdom business? Who wants Jesus in your workplace? Like working with you, I want to see the way that he walked, his business model. I want a communion with him. Ultimately, if we change the world but he doesn't know us, it's a waste of time. Correct? I'm part of a church that sees autism healed, that sees spines restored, that sees crazy miracles. But if we stand before God and say, well, didn't we see the dead raised? Didn't we see backs? Didn't we see? And he said, well, but I don't know you. You know, it's possible to achieve great success and call it kingdom whatever, but not know God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's those two things together. It's friendship with God that is everything, or I've got nothing. It's empty. It's futile. And I can tell because of the substance of people's eyes and what they carry, the atmosphere that you carry. If you walk into a room and anxiety lifts, you're carrying anxiety. Correct? Is this getting too personal? If I walk into my office and I'm partnered with anxiety, I'm partnering with the wrong spirit. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, which means the spirit that he is of is a spirit of peace, which means if I'm in union with him, what will I carry? Peace. Does that mean that I won't have fear, challenge, or difficulty? No. It means that that's an invitation to a greater experience of God, regardless of what I face. And just when you think you graduated, he says, awesome, I want to give you bigger challenges. I'm learning. I walk into the office, I'm wondering how I'm going to pay these bills, I'm wondering how to do this, I'm anxious, and then I check myself. Oh, I'm jacked up with anxiety. I'm carrying the wrong spirit, and I lead the environment. So guess what's going to happen into the entire environment? That's not good for business. So I stop myself, which looks, you can do this, right? You can stop yourself. Turn myself around, go back out the door, and then pause. Say, Holy Spirit, forgive me. I'm partnered with fear and anxiety. That's not your spirit. I want you to mentor me. I give you the fear and anxiety, these specific things, as Dr. Ken Eldred said, specifically, this is what I'm concerned or worried about. I give these cares to you. And I choose to receive and clothe myself with you like Adam was in the garden. I clothe myself with your presence. And now that I know you're with me, now let's go back into the office and let's deal with these challenges. Are you with me? So what does the Bible say about this? Who wants to have kingdom influence? Which is influencing from heaven's perspective. It's really interesting. Lots of people say, I got a kingdom business, and you walk in their business and you wonder, is there anything different? The atmosphere sucks. They argue and complain just the same as anybody else. It's like there's got to be something tangibly different. And we're going to talk about that. I just want to lay some foundations. My goal and entire intention is to ruin you for normal. Okay, are you ready? So Daniel 1:20, this is a graph. You're business people, you understand this. If you imagine the vertical axis is kingdom influence and the horizontal axis is time. And we've got this guy, Daniel. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? This is in the book of the Bible, Daniel 1:20. Daniel and his friends were refugees from a foreign country. It's literally like America goes to war in Iraq, then takes some of Saddam Hussein's family. That's what Daniel, those boys were, family. They get them taken back to Babylon. That would be like America going to Iraq, taking some of the royal family, bringing them back, training them at West Point, Harvard, wherever, and then competing them with the best of America's homegrown talent. And there's four Iraqis were 10 times better than the best of that home country. It's nice reading it in the Bible, but that's what it would have been like. Who would get offended and want to kill them? Most of America. Correct? Be honest. So what was it about Daniel and his three friends? It says they tested them and they found them to be 10 times greater in wisdom and understanding than all of the wisest of the wise men in the land. Which means, do you think they stood out? Yes. Did they stand out? Yes, they did. What was it that was their secret? Was it they were vegetarian? Oh, help me, God, please, no. Was it because they prayed three times a day? What was it? I propose to you is that they had a connection with the God of all wisdom. Wisdom is the source of creativity, innovation, ideas. That is what wisdom is. They were 10 times greater. That is a good business. We know the story of what happened. Now follow with me. Then a few hundred years later comes this guy, John the Baptist. This is Matthew 11:11. And you're asking me, well, what's, he wasn't a businessman. Oh yeah, he was. Everybody's in business, they just don't realize it. Business is just the vehicle by which we add value to the planet. Money is just simply a certificate of value. If you want to get more money, add more value. It's really simple. So what, everybody is selling something. What was John the Baptist selling? A message. What was his message? Repentance. Who's his customer? The most religious people on the planet, Israel. What's repentance? Telling you that you're wrong and you need to change your thinking. So what's the rules of business? Have something that people want. Can you see where this is going? Has John the Baptist got something that the people want? His customers think they've got everything, and he's going to tell them, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're all wrong. That's his message. Are you tracking this?
Yeah.
So do you think that's a good business model? Who says yes? No, it's a bad business model. Second thing of business, you've got to package it, marketing. You've got to present it in a way that they would want it. So John the Baptist is the model. He comes out. How does he present himself? Certainly not seeker friendly. He's wearing camel's hair. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He probably looks a little bit like Todd White with his dreadlocks. He hasn't probably showered in a while. Do you think that's a good business model? Yes or no?
No.
Two from two, zero from two. Okay, what's the third thing in business that you've got to know? A business without customers is not a business. So what are you going to do? I've got to take something that people want, I'm going to present it in a way that they would want it, and I'm going to go where the customers are. Where does John the Baptist go? Are you catching this? He goes into the wilderness. How many people are in the wilderness? Nobody. But what does the Bible say? And all of Israel came to him. What's the point? What's that? That is called supernatural favor. Supernatural favor. That looks like me. I've got my phone. I'm flying to a business meeting. I'm leaving Reading. Reading Airport is about the size of this. Gate one, everybody's turned, there is only one gate. I go in there, my boarding pass is on my phone, I put it on the security thing. I don't know why they have security in such a small, but anyway, there's security. We put it through, put my bags through, get through the other side, walk through into the waiting area and suddenly realize I've left my phone. So I turn around, go racing back, and it's gone. Someone else has taken it. There's a woman standing there, she's an executive of a, I don't know her, but in the process I meet her. She goes, oh, you've lost your phone. Here, take mine. Call yours. She's like your mother. She's kind of helping me out. So I'm calling on her phone my number. I'm walking around. I mean, there's hardly any people there, but no one's responding. So I go back, and she goes, oh, here, give it to me. She then walks through the waiting area saying, excuse me, people, this gentleman has lost his phone. Can you check that you have your phone or is this his? I'm like, hide me, Jesus. We get onto the plane. I still don't have my phone. She's walking down the aisle. Now, she is like a top executive with a national company. I don't even know her name at this stage. She's going, excuse me, is that your phone? Is that your phone? We go back. I'm just like, this is crazy. Next thing, she's still calling on her phone, my phone. The lady next to me is a grandma, and her phone, her handbag lights up. She reaches down and pulls out my phone. I say, it's okay, I've got it, I've got it. I'm thinking, phew, I just want to hide. 5 minutes later, sorry, everyone has to get off the plane. because it's mechanical problems. We're going to have to work this out. So I'm now standing back in the room thinking, what on earth is going on? I get a text on my phone from Stranger Lady saying, hey, I'm not going to wait because I've got some business meetings to go to in this country. I'm not going to wait. I'm not sure where you're going. She still doesn't even know my name. So I can't be bothered waiting. So I've called for my plane to come and pick me up. Do you want a ride? Are you seeing this? I lose my phone and get a private plane ride from Reading to San Francisco. I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to convert her? She goes, so what are you doing here? Your accent's not, we have a quick conversation. I tell her, well, God spoke to me. That was the end of the conversation. I've got some calls to make. What's the point? God wants to be with you. Here's the crazy thing is Jesus comes after John the Baptist. Jesus says of John the Baptist, of men born of women, there is none greater than he. Correct? So who had more kingdom influence? Daniel and his three buddies or John the Baptist? John the Baptist. And then Jesus says, so Daniel and his friends were supernatural wisdom. Just say that. Yeah. You see things, you innovate, you have ideas, you have strat, it's normal. John the Baptist was supernatural favor, correct? And then Jesus says, but the least in the kingdom is what? So what's the minimum operating standard for you? Who brought the kingdom? Jesus. We're right.
Yes.
Are you tracking with me? What's the minimum standard? Supernatural wisdom and supernatural favor. If you're a part of the kingdom. Does anyone need to get saved? I want to get saved in the full kingdom, not just the version that I heard. And then Jesus comes. What's Jesus' business model? Well, it's pretty good. It's this. How about this? Fish where there were no fish. Comes out, they've been fishing all night. They're commercial fishermen. They know how to fish. Jesus says, throw your net on the other side. What happens? They catch so much, they have to call over their competitors. We heard this story this morning, and they have to share what they've got with their competitors, and it's still too much. That's what supernatural abundance looks like. When you've got so much, you can share it with your competitors, and it's going to sink them as well. Is that a good business model? You know where the fish are. Friends of mine pray over a map. They're in the mining business. They pray over the map. Holy Spirit shows them where to mine. They find minerals that nobody else can find. Is that a good business model? Is that cheating? No. Are you better to do that first or after? Just wait until my business is failing and then ask Holy Spirit? No. What if I woke up in the morning and morning by morning, he awakes me with his voice? What if I wake up and all night he's instructing me in the way to go? Day by day, he takes care of the innocent. This is the living word that we have that's an invitation to us. Water to wine, is that a good business? We have a business class. They haven't yet played with that one because it kind of messes up church a little bit. I'm not sure what Colorado's like with alcohol. Jesus comes in, messes the party up with the best wine. Well, why is this important? Corruption reversed? Because then Jesus said this. He said, greater things will you do. Is this true?
Yes.
Who? Who's going to do greater things? Did Jesus pay the ultimate price for a workforce? Are you his workers?
Yes.
Is he the global boss? No longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. What's the invitation? Friendship with God. He wants to work with you. There's this really good book called With, just the words W-I-T-H. Grab a hold of it. In terms of our thinking, am I living from God, under God, for God, from God, or with God? What's he inviting us to? With God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus. Jesus of where? Jesus the Son of God? Jesus of Nazareth. Why does it say that? How God anointed Jesus the man. The Jesus, divine, but in the humanity. The divine came upon him. How the anointing came upon him. What happened? He went about doing good. I think we've reduced kingdom business to just doing good and destroying all the works of the devil. That's the power of God. Displacing poverty, seeing cities transformed and thriving. Not all coming to my church. Please know. Fully alive, fully thriving, solving every problem because I have supernatural wisdom. I see a problem, I've got a solution because I've got the solution living inside me. How God anointed Jesus, the person with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. This is the greatest invitation on the planet that most of us aren't walking in. Because of ignorance, because of avoidance, because of crazy stuff. But this is the invitation. What does it look like? I've got a friend of mine. He's a national copywriter. He's the one we sent our content to. Holy Spirit woke him up in the night. He's normally $25,000 to $100,000 for a project working with him. When I found that out, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be working with you because I don't have that budget. He goes, no. Turns out we're connected. Send me your content. I'll have a listen. I'll give you some feedback. I sent him some audio and material. He calls me the next day and says, Holy Spirit woke him in the night, read the book, listened to the content. He says, what you don't know is I've got Parkinson's. And when I listen to your content, my Parkinson's symptoms reduced to zero. Whatever you want to do, I'm in. I'm like, Jesus. If I'd known this, I follow the voice. Just follow his voice. Be the best that you can be and follow his voice. Let his voice be the loudest voice in your life. Then Ray's on a call with a client of his. So this client, Ray just says, they're talking through the business things, that it's an advisory call. The guy's paying big money for this. Ray said, hey, Sue, how are you doing? He goes, oh, actually really bad. I've got kidney stones. He says, oh, well, tell you what, can I pray for you? So the guy says, oh, sure. So Ray prays. Jesus asked that you take care of it or that they'd pass quickly without pain. That afternoon, he gets a text with that photo. What do you think though is in that hand? Who thinks gold nuggets? No, those are called kidney stones. Here's what the text said. I realize this is a potential overshare, but these three bad boys came out after you prayed for me today. Thank you. That's usually a celebration right there. The copywriter was overjoyed and replied, did it hurt? Client responded, pinched a little, but not bad. Are you catching this? There's a business model that Jesus has and lives and works that the core of it is not working for him, it's working with him. As an invitation to know him, but I've got to choose whose voice I'm going to listen to. And it's about first, because he says, first seek the kingdom. And when you're seeking the kingdom first, there is no second. And if you say, well, I love God and I do my quiet time and I do that thing and I got my business over here. No, that's not going to work. We heard about that. That's compartmentalization. That will not work. Because he says, I'm either all, I'm not in. I'm either first or it's called idolatry. You're either hot for me or I'm spitting you out. So wake up, America. Then there's this. You see, Psalm 145 says, let the work of your hands praise you. So hold your hands up. How close is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. How close is the kingdom of heaven? Have a look at your hands. Okay, so last night we got led in salvation, filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that the kingdom is resident. Jesus brought the kingdom, Jesus living in us, Holy Spirit power, same anointing on us that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit. So I have no right to say that I can't do that, or I can't do that. You've got the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in you. You've got no excuse. I've got no excuse. I've just got to choose whose voice and who I'm partnering with. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So then you look at your hands. These hands are more dangerous than I realize. What does that mean? That everything that you put your hand to is now dangerous. Let the work of my hands praise you. Some people came to one of the things we did. Corporate America in Hawaii, but burned out. They wanted to start something else. They got lit up. They had their God life and they had their business life, two separate worlds. And they heard this message of a fully integrated life, a partnership with God, co-labor with God. He doesn't do it all. You don't do it all. You do it together. I love that. Was that Dr. Henry Cloud saying about the vision? That there's going to, like Jesus is going to the cross, going to Jerusalem, there's going to be a cult. God will provide. But he doesn't bring the cult to you. You've got to go and get it. He's provided, but you've got to go and get it. It's the two together. He gives you the seed, but you've got to plant it. It's the both together. It's business practice. And in the process, I'm listening to his voice the whole way through. Are you with me? Are you still there? The kingdom of heaven is a hand. Everything I put in my hand to then can become a work that would praise him. Let the work of my hands praise you. So Jeremiah and Shelley decide to take on a pizza franchise. But they said, I want to do this. We're going to do it well, the best that we can. We're going to learn. We're going to grow. But God, let the work of my hands praise you. So as they're making the dough that makes the pizzas, where's the work of the hands? It's the dough. They're kneading the dough and they say, God, let the work of my hands praise you. As people eat this pizza, if Jesus could lay hands on the sick, I'm laying hands on this pizza dough. That when people eat this pizza, they get healed of food allergies, sickness, and diseases. Why not? Stay curious. So they do that. Holly had gluten and food allergies all her life. She's in her 20s. She has a dream 8 months in a row about eating pizza from Westside Pizza. That's their business. She does not know them, does not eat pizza, does not know anything about their business. But she has a dream that if she eats that pizza, she'll get healed. She wakes up freaking out. Finally, after 8-9 months, she decides she's going to, well, it might be God. It's probably God. We'll learn about that this afternoon. So she goes, freaked out, and tries it, orders a small pizza with everything on it. Eats the pizza, goes to her doctor. Doctor said, if you'd eaten that much of gluten, you should feel like you were hit by a bus. Completely healed of food allergies. We then take that, we put the story into a book, God With You at Work. It's all about friendship with God, God with us in building excellent business. I then decide to get it turned into an audio book. Ryan, are you here, Ryan? So I get connected with this guy, Ryan. Ryan's got an audio engineering company. They audio engineer things, mostly like YouVersion Bibles. They do tons of stuff with that. So I send him the book and say, here's my voice over stuff. Can you edit it? He goes, sure. As he's listening to it, he hears the story, the testimony about Westside Pizza and Holly getting healed of food allergies. He's the audio engineer. Are you with me? He then thinks, my wife has got food allergies. What if I went not to a church, not to a healing meeting? What if I take my wife to Redding, California, to Westside Pizza for pizza? He takes his wife over a period of time to Redding. That's her eating pizza. What's the point? Completely healed. Food allergies, reflux. Is that good business? Show me your hands again. Remember last night, Pastor Andrew saying, put your antennas up. We got to get out. And like we're a walking hotspot, Wi-Fi hotspot, except you're connected to heaven. You are more dangerous than you realize. Sometimes we've got to slap ourselves and wake up and realize I've got Christ inside me, on me and around me, and I've been believing lies. I want to access more. What's stopping us? One, ignorance. This is kind of just, we're unaware of it. Who thinks I'm unaware of this invitation? That's me. I didn't know it. I thought I got to do a missionary. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's not. There's so much more. Poor teaching or no teaching at all about God of all. That's why you're here. The things that have taught us to separate the secular and sacred. To God, there is no secular and sacred. To God, everything is sacred. It's sacred work. If you're in it and you've got the Spirit of God in you, your work is sacred. Avoidance. I'm afraid. I'm aware, but I'm not equipped to do it. Well, that's why you're here as well, correct? Number three, pride. This is a classic. I'm a successful business person. Look at what I've achieved. So I'm going to add God into my life. Yeah, I do the business plan, do the strategic plan, do the marketing, and I've got my God department. Doesn't work like that. It's like you're a train. You think I'm going to add God as a carriage? It's not going to happen. God is the train. It's a complete upheaval that if you're going to sign up to say, God, I'm all in and putting you first, it will result in upheaval. It will result in upheaval. It always does. But he is with you. And the rewards is ridiculous because like we've heard, whether I go through highs or lows, ups or downs, I discover that God is with me. He's closer than my skin and nearer than the air that I breathe. It's amazing. I'm walking through something right now where 10 years ago, we left New Zealand, came to America. God spoke to us about a property, a house. About 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we found that property, except it's impossible. What did we learn about impossible? Remember the company, you'd say, do you say Adidas or Adidas?
Adidas.
Do you know they've got it sounds like a prophetic intercessory team in their marketing department that says, made this statement, impossible is nothing. Where'd they get that from? Jesus. Yeah. Impossible is nothing. So if you see something as impossible, what have you got inside you? The God of the impossible, which means it's normal for me. So to the person that knows and walks with God, the impossible becomes logical. How do I do that? Just thank him for what I've got and take one step forward. Listen to his voice, take another step forward. It's just that step after step after step. So we get led to buy a house with no money that we can't afford to pay for. It's a crazy story. We give a non-refundable $80,000 deposit. Non-refundable. And then we rent it for 12 months. God said, I'm thinking, I just want to hit eject, eject, eject. But everything I'm reading every single day says, this is yours. You gotta, I'm like, oh, I'm freaking out. And we're getting the deadline. We're in there for 6 weeks, and then there's a fire, the car fire, burned 240,000 acres, burned 2 of our 3 acres, burned all around the house, but not the house. We're displaced for 3 months. We get back in, then there's a snowmageddon, we call it. We don't have snow in Redding, California, but this year in February, we had about this much, which you can imagine what that was like. It's the craziest year ever. And I'm thinking, God, what are we doing? Why am I doing this? But all through it, I'm learning that God is faithful. God is faithful. I seek his voice. I follow his voice. A month ago, an advisor of mine said, why aren't you asking for help? I'm like, because I'm a businessman. And I'm living, what's the two kingdoms? Oh, I'm living by an earthly kingdom. I don't ask for help. I do it myself. That's called pride. So I start to work out how to talk to some people about what I need. Last week, I talked to one of those advisors. He said, I heard Psalm 37 for you. Psalm 37 was last night. Psalm 30, and it talks about possess the land. You're supposed to own this. It's your land. I'm like, oh, I'm glad someone confirms it. And it says, plus there's a scripture in there that says the generous, the righteous are generous, they give generous loans. So I'm hearing God tell me, I've got to loan you money. How much do you need? Interest free, indefinitely. You guys are way less excited than I was. What's the point? Whatever is impossible, you're supposed to walk it. If you say it's difficult and dark, that's normal. Because you don't put light in light. You put light in darkness. You're salt, light, and leaven. What does salt do? Add flavor. What does light do? Add color. What does leaven do? Cause everything to rise. You say, well, it's difficult. Perfect. You're where you're supposed to be. But it's dark. Perfect. That's when you get on your knees and ask, Holy Spirit, show me strategies. We're going to do workshops this afternoon about that. The final one, which is a key one, is the misconception of God. God is not your boss. He's not the cosmic boss waiting for you to screw up so he can hit the bzz button. He's a loving father. A loving father that paid the ultimate price for a family. And he wants to do with you. He could do what you do better than you. If it was all about global transformation, you think he would have done it already? Or he'd wake you every morning and tell you what to do? Because I don't know about you, but we've screwed it up for so long, and yet he's faithfully walking. Is it possible? It's not about global transformation. About you and him in union, and then the overflow of that is transformation. Children are the fruit of a healthy marriage. Transformation is the fruit of a healthy union with God. Misconception of God. He's not indistant. He's not distant, indifferent. He doesn't withhold good things. He's a good God who loves you extravagantly. Read the book. He's ridiculously good. So he's not going to change. I've got to change. You heard that story about the king sitting on a throne. Someone gives him a cat. He's patting it. And the cat is like he's patting it the wrong way. As in because the cat's facing this way. And someone tells him, why don't you pat the other way? And he goes, no, the cat can turn around. It's like us with God, waiting for God to change. No, you change around. He doesn't answer us. We're doing this with him. Everything comes from this one thing. First. First, seek his counsel. First, seek his kingdom. Put him first. So what are you doing the last time things went bad? What did you turn to first? That is your God. Wow, it's this Christian business network. Yeah, that can be an idol too. Well, it's my pastor. Yeah, that can be an idol too. Don't outsource your intimacy or your authority to anybody else. You have a direct union with God. The same spirit that came on Jesus comes on you. And that's what this is about. It's about first. It's about a realignment. Okay, Jesus, it's about me with you. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I want to do this with you. Are you hearing this? So, this is, for me, everything. Exodus 33:15. We've got 6 employees. We're growing. We're seeing crazy things happen all over the world. But this is it. You've got Moses. Remember Moses stands on a mountain, Pike's Peak, something like that. He's the epitome of a business person, A-type personality, knows exactly what he's called to do, where he's going, what's going on. Plus, he's got 400 years of prophecy that he's the fulfillment of. He's got 3 million moaning shareholders. And God comes to him and says, I'm going to kill him. And what does Moses say? No deal. How many people have you sacrificed for the sake of achieving your God-given destiny? Not without my family. Not without my employees. Not without who God's given me to lead with me. Then the number 2, God says, I'll send an angel with you. Remember that? What does Moses say? No deal. What does an angel provide? Provision, protection, power, and direction. What's the difference between that and the very person of God? Everything. I find all of those things in His presence, but I can have those things without His presence. Provision, protection, power, and direction. Moses says, not without your presence, not without the person of God with me, for how will we be distinguished or set apart? It's not the miracles, it's not the wonderful business plan, it's not all of that. It's the very person of God manifested with me, which looks like peace and rest. It doesn't look like sleeping. It looks like knowing my identity is anchored and rooted in Him. Just put your hand on your heart. Jesus, ruin us for normal. Destroy every stupid, small-minded belief that we've held on to that has limited us, stopped us from partnering with You in all of life. Father, we give You right now every fear, every anxiety, and we repent of where we've sought other voices, other books, other resources. Not that they're bad, but we've sought them second. We've sought them first rather than seeking You first. Right now, we turn back and set our heart and devotion on You. And from this moment on, let this be a mark of a restoration of a covenant. Because You're a covenant-keeping God. You paid it all, and we give You it all. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now turn to the person beside you and tell them one thing that you're going to do differently tomorrow as a result of choosing to walk in a fullness of a partnership with God at work. One thing you're going to do different tomorrow. Go.
Well, who's excited about their new business partner? I know I am. That was awesome. Thank you, Andy. So I'm going to dismiss on another break. You have 18 minutes. Be back here 11 o'clock for the start of the next session. After the next session, stick around. We're going to give you guys information about the workshops and the special sessions this afternoon. But in the meantime, please avail yourself to the bookstore, resource area, and cafe. See you at 11 o'clock.